This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر
أن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله عليه صلوات الله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار ثم أما بعد وما قل وكفى خير مما كثر وألهى وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين. We start by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of the blessings that He bestowed upon us. The first being that He guided us to this noble religion of Islam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not let us die except in the state of Islam. Ameen. And we send the best of peace and blessings upon our noble Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam and those companions who followed him and gave him victory and stood next to him and those who continue to stand next to the cause of Islam and beside the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam until the day of judgment. Brothers and sisters, There's a story of two parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed with marriage. They got to know each other, a righteous couple, raised right here in America, very practicing, very religious, very pious. So they thought that they will make the marriage of the century. When they got married, they agreed to raise their kids in accordance to the principles of Islam. They agreed to be an example of how a Muslim family should be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with a child not so long after this. This child was born, they recited Quran, taught him adhkar, sent him to Quran school when he got a little bit older, and then continued to raise him around Muslimin, around the masajid. But then at a certain point of their life, this child started to slowly go away from the teachings of Islam. Slowly started to express rebellion towards the teachings or towards the commands of their parents. This child started to express it when they got to a certain age, the age of puberty or perhaps a little bit before. They were so easy going before. They were so simple to deal with. But at this point, the parents are losing their grip over this child and they have no idea why. They sleep every night thinking, where did we go wrong? What did we do wrong to make our child do this? We offered everything. We gave everything. We did everything we can. Oh Allah, what can it possibly be? The story of these parents is the story that many of us can relate to, or some of us can relate to, or know someone that can relate to it. We live in very, very challenging times today, brothers and sisters. And it is very important for us as parents to understand where we go wrong. Serving as a youth mentor and living around many of the youth and working in this field for a very long time, alhamdulillah, I have a sense of understanding when it comes to the struggles that many of our kids are going through. So today I dedicated this khutbah towards giving advice to parents, and I am one of them. Giving advice to parents as to where they could have went wrong as they were raising their children. Some very common mistakes that we can avoid when raising our kids so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can perhaps save them and make us a cause for raising a righteous generation that will carry the burden of Islam on their backs, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the ayah, in Surah Al-Isra, after mentioning that we have to obey our parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِ صَغِيرًا. And lower to them the wing of humbleness. This is for who? For us, towards our parents. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what type of dua we should make for our parents. And I want everyone to listen very closely and try to understand the wording of this dua, because it is very important and perhaps none of us really pay attention to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِ صَغِيرًا. Oh Allah, have mercy on them the way they raised me when I was a child. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala connect our dua of mercy for our parents with the way they raised us? Not the way they provided for us. Not the way they took us out. Not the way they did favors for us. But the way they raised us in general. Because there is a correlation between the relationship we have with our parents Now the way they raise us as children, for the children here and for parents, because we're all children to parents. There is a correlation between the way they raised us, how good it was, that experience of being raised by our parents, and the way we make dua for Allah to have mercy upon them. And this is what we are going to speak about today, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. A lot of us teach our kids. We teach our kids what we know about Islam. But sometimes the methodology by which we teach them is not necessarily as perfect as the message we're trying to convey. Because the message of Islam is without a doubt the most perfect of messages. It is the complete religion from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that does not mean that the methodology we use in conveying this message, in teaching it to our kids, is right. And that's why I always say, it's the method, not the message. It's the method, not the message. The method is what our kids see. The message is what it takes them time to discover by themselves. The message is what they receive indirectly, but the method is what they really feel and experience, and what really affects them as we're teaching them while they're growing up. No matter how good the message is, no matter how perfect it is, no matter how complete it is, if the method is not correct, if the way we're delivering it is not correct, then it will not be accepted by anyone. The Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, talk to your children when they are young, they will talk to you when you are old. Perfect justice. You remember the principle I mentioned in one of the khutab before, al-jaza'u min jins al-amal. What you give is what you get. You talk to them, you explain things to them. You give them time when they are young, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, they will give you the same type of time, the same type of talk when you grow old. A recent study suggests that many of the kids that end up not believing in God or denying religion actually do it because their parents, and I want every parent in here to listen to this, their parents used to say something and do the opposite, or do something else. They will talk the talk, but not walk the walk. You can say that, why do I represent the religion in front of my kids? You are the ambassador of Islam in front of your children. There is no representation of Islam. It is not the imam of the masjid or the hafiz that teaches Quran in the masjid. Number one, the number one representative of Islam is you. So it is your responsibility to learn how to explain Islam, to explain the history of Islam, the aqidah, the creed of Islam to your children. If they have any question, you should be the one to answer it for them. You should be the one that knows all of the answers. Not all of the answers, but has a good method in explaining things, or knows how to refer back to someone else when they come with a question. You are the number one ambassador of Islam in front of your kids. We often hear, and I often hear, parents say, my kids are rebelling. They aren't listening to me anymore. Anytime I tell them to do something, they do something completely opposite. My kids are disrespectful. They never act the way I want them to act in any given situation. But I always tell the parents, when is the last time you hugged your child? Or took them on a walk and told them you love them, and that you're with them no matter what? When is the last time you sat them down and asked them what is going through their heads? When is the last time you took them out to a restaurant or a cafe and spent some quality time? Gave them a kiss on their forehead? When is the last time we showed this compassion, this genuine compassion to our children? And many times, At least with my experience, there is a correlation between the two. So, today, a question arises. What is this parent-child relationship built on? And what are its foundational pillars? There are only four. When we talk about parent-child relationships, we can only speak about four things. Number one is friendship. Number two is trust. Number three is positive encouragement. And number four is fixing bad habits or correcting bad habits. Anything to do with parent-child relationship has to do with these four foundational pillars. 70% of the problems between parents and their children stems from a non-existent friendship or a shaky friendship between the parent and the child. Sometimes there is no friendship. Sometimes the friendship is there, but it isn't nurtured, it isn't watered, it isn't taken care of. When the parent spends more time on the his friends outside of the house than the friends inside of the house, it becomes very troublesome. We are the role models. We are their number one friends. Once we break this bond of friendship, they are only going to search for it outside. And this is why we find kids come home, "Dad, there's this friend who does this and this bad thing. There's a girl who I got to know who wants me to do this." And the parent says, "Where did I go wrong?" I ask, why are they searching for this love, compassion, understanding, communication outside of the house? They should have it right then and there. It should have never left them. The second is trust. And there is no doubt that trust is another important foundational principle in our relationship with our children. The only way we can get our kids to trust us is if we express to them day by day that we're with them all the time, no matter what. Whatever situation they're in, whether they pass an exam, they fail an exam, they're number one in school, they're the last student in school, that we're with them all the time. If they trust that their parent will never forsake them no matter what, then this trust will be there. And the relationship will be there. The number three and the third point is positive encouragement. Your kids need to feel like you are the one that's always behind them. No matter what endeavor they plan to embark in their life or what goal they plan to pursue, they need to feel like you are their number one fan. They have no fan like you because you're always rooting them on and want the best for them. It can be something small, like a gift every now and then, a smile, a word of encouragement, something to make them feel like they're good to go, I'm behind you the whole way. But sometimes we make a very serious mistake as parents. Sometimes we want our kids to be exactly the way we want them to be. We want them to be doctors, engineers, lawyers, architects, whatever we want them to be. Because for us, in our life, we saw that as successful. But that isn't what the child wants to be. He wants to be, or she wants to be, something else. And if they don't feel like they're getting the support from you, they're going to find it somewhere else. And this is why we make a grave mistake sometimes with our kids. They say, "Mom or Dad, I like to draw." "Oh, drawing is haram." "I like to sing." "Oh, singing is haram." "I like martial arts." "Yeah, that's haram." Everything is haram. You're closing the doors for everything this child likes. How is he going to like Islam when the only times he hears or she hears about Islam is when it's haram? They never hear about it when it's halal. When it's good, when it's something fun, they don't hear about halal. The only time this religion comes in is when it's haram. How do we expect them to love religion if the only time they hear about it is when it's haram? And it's closing the doors between them and their satisfaction in this life. You have to guide them to that which is right. If they like to draw, let them draw the right things. They like to sing, let them study Quran and maqamat. Let them study nasheed. Let them pursue what they love. But guide it and build it. And be the number one fan before they find someone else who takes them elsewhere, to a place that you do not want to see them in. Be the one that holds their hand and guides them. This is your responsibility in front of Allah. Sometimes when we close the doors in front of our kids, they start to rebel. And this rebellion can be expressed in two different ways. The first way is just stubbornness, and we're used to that. We see that in kids a lot of times, right? They're stubborn. They don't want to listen. They purposely do acts of mischief, right? The second way, and the way I seek refuge in Allah from, and I ask Allah that none of our kids have this. And the second way they express this rebellion is very, very dangerous. When this rebellion becomes internalized, they bottle it in. They don't express it outside. They keep it inside. And it produces stress, anxiety, depression. They start being very self-conscious. It affects their social life. They can't socialize anymore. It's because they cannot express this rebellion outside. It's not part of their personality. So they keep it inside, they suppress it. And this is very dangerous because it's not going to stay that way for a long time. It usually comes out, and it comes out in a very bad way. We seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from this. The Prophet, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, says in the ayah, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Say, this is O Muhammad and O Muslim, that this is my path. I call to Allah with a clear path in front of my eyes. I see where I'm going. As a parent, you need to understand the path you are walking on and where you need to go to raise up upright Muslim children. You cannot do it without study, research, asking people of wisdom. You need to understand what your child is going through and be there for them at every level of their life. And make sure that they never replace you with anyone else. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide our children so that they don't replace us with anyone. We ask Allah to make us the best of parents for our children. Sometimes religious parents fall into another problem where they want their kids to be just as religious as them. And when their child doesn't have that level of religiosity, they start to suppress the child or force the child to perform acts of worship. Oh, you must pray. You don't want to pray? I'm going to force you to pray. Rather than take by the child's hand and make them understand why they're doing it. Oh, maybe they don't understand who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Maybe they don't perceive the bounty that Allah bestowed upon us by making us Muslimin and creating us and giving us the chance to be entered into Jannah. Maybe they don't understand. These are not robots. Our kids are humans. They have rationale. They have logic. And they need to understand. So we need to sit them down and make them understand. If we can't, then we take them to someone who can talk to them. Or we as parents go to someone who can explain to us how to approach our children. Brothers and sisters, it's a very, very sensitive topic, I understand. But it is something, wallahi, that needs to be studied and deserves for us to read books upon books and to listen to lectures upon lectures about this, because if we produce one upright, righteous Muslim, that Muslim can carry a whole ummah. That one person can carry a whole, but it's so difficult to produce. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who produce these upright Muslim children. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our children defenders of Islam and Muslimin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to use us and our children for the sake of Allah and never to replace us with anyone. آمين يا رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد أقول ما سمعتم واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. After mentioning what we mentioned in the last khutbah, sometimes we make mistakes innocently. We don't know what we're doing when we're raising our children. Sometimes, I don't doubt that every single parent tries their absolute best to raise good children. But are we trying our best when the information is out there and we choose not to ask for it? When the imam or the child mentor, the professional, or the psychiatrist, or someone who can advise us, give us good advice about how to raise children, is there, but we don't give it the time. Are we really trying our best? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. And today, inshallah, with the second khutbah, all I want to do is mention 10 different words, or 10 things that we say that absolutely destroy our children. That destroy our children. A word, yes, it's not an upbringing. It's not a routine in the house. No, it's a word. Something you say that destroys the child internally and externally. 10 different points, brothers and sisters, and I want every single one of you to listen very closely and try to remember all of them. And before I even mention them, I ask Allah that we avoid them. Number one is cursing at the child. Cursing destroys a child from within. The Prophet ﷺ, he says, I was not sent to curse at people, but I was sent as a mercy to mankind. Be like your Prophet, alayhi salatu wassalam. Do not curse at your children, because you might think it's funny. You might think it's something that you grew up doing. But this curse, and the list is very big for cursing. The list is very big. This cursing internalizes differently in the heart of the child. It resonates a certain way. And it produces this rebellion that we were speaking about in the last khutbah. How can they be confident in us when we curse at them? We disrespect them. Number two is putting them down. Oh, you're a liar. Oh, you're a cheater. Oh, you're this. Oh, you're that. The Prophet ﷺ, لم يعاير أحد. He never called anyone names in his life, عليه الصلاة والسلام. This is makarim al-akhlaq. How can we do it with our own children who we are responsible for? Oh, you're a whiner. You're a crybaby. How many times do we hear this? But it breaks the child. It destroys them from within. So we should avoid it. Number three, comparing them to someone else. Your sister is so much smarter than you. Your sister looks better than you. Your brother, he's a better sportsman. He's faster, he runs faster. You'll never be like your cousin. Your cousin is a mashallah, but you, look at you. This destroys the child when you compare him to someone else or compare her to someone else. So we should avoid it by any means. Do not say it. If you're used to it, then catch yourself, train yourself to refrain from it, because it destroys them from within. Number 4, conditional love. I love you if you pass your exams. I love you if you get valedictorian. I love you if your GPA is 4.0. I love you if you come home at 10 p.m. Anything after that, then I don't love you. What does this conditional love teach our children? We have to make them understand that we love them no matter what they do. And they have to understand this. This should be imprinted and forged in their head. But you love the action itself. You know, I would like it if you come. I love it when you come home early. I love it when you pass your exams. I really love it when you get number one in class. But love in general, it should unconditionally be there. And they should not doubt it at all. Number 5, giving wrong information. Why are you crying? You know, men don't cry. That's not true, brothers and sisters. Men cry. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cried. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu cried. As a matter of fact, that was what they called him, Rajul Asif, meaning he cries too much. Abu Bakr used to cry too much. How can we tell our child men don't cry? We have to tell him true words like, "Oh, you gave me a headache. You're driving me crazy." They didn't drive you crazy. There's nothing crazy about you. You're fine. Give them correct information. Number 6, mocking them. Oh, you're fat. You're lazy. You sleep too much. Ayyadu billah. What is a child going to think? You know, sometimes a parent sees their child doing something or, you know, gaining some weight or not eating too much or, you know, sleeping a little bit too much. Their sleeping habits aren't right. So we say things like, "You're a sleepyhead. Look at you. You're always asleep. You never do. You're good for nothing." What kind of child are we going to bring up when we are the ones breaking them within? They go outside to look for people who can empower them. They go outside, join gangs who respect them for what they are, what they can do. They join fraternities, do crazy things. They do crazy things in colleges and universities. Why? Because they're looking for the structure, they're looking for the respect. That's all they were looking for. If they found it home, they never would have went out to look for it. If they found it home, they would have never went out to look for it. Number 7, explicit threats. You know, "I'll kill you, right? I'm going to hang you from the window. I'm going to do this, wal'ayyadu billah." Sometimes we hear parents do this. What kind of parents are we when we give them such explicit threats? Imagine, try to visualize, "I'm going to bang your head into the wall." That's something we should refrain from. It scares them. They're children. They don't know what figures of speech are. They don't know what common threats are. You know, "Oh yeah, this is just something every..." No, they don't know what it is. They understand the words. When you say, "I'll do this to you, I'll bang your head in the wall," they're thinking of banging the head into the wall. "Wow, mom will do that to me. Dad will do that to me." That's what they're thinking. So we should refrain from it. Number 8, saying no for no apparent reason. "Dad, why can't I do this?" "No. Please, let me..." "No. Why? Can you explain?" "No, I don't need to explain." No means no. This doesn't work with kids. You need to explain it to them. If you don't explain it, you don't have time to explain it at a certain time, you explain it later. The Prophet ﷺ never said no, except when he had to. Anas ibn Malik said, "I lived with him 10 years, he didn't say no to me once." Radiallahu ta'ala. Allahumma salli alayka Sayyidi ya Rasulullah. And a poet said, if it wasn't for the la in the tashahud, he would have said na'am all the time. Number 9, making dua against them. Wal'iyadu billah. And we know how bad this is. وَيَدْعُ الْإِنسَانُ بِالشَّرِّ دُعَاءَهُ بِالْخَيْرِ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. We make dua with shar when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us how to make dua so we can make it for khair. He taught us His names so we can call on Him for good, and we're using it for bad. And how many fathers and mothers made dua against their kids and their dua came true and they really regret it. And we see examples of this. They regret it because they saw their own dua being answered in front of them. We want our good dua to be answered, brothers and sisters. Number 10, and the last point, exposing their faults in front of others. You have a gathering with friends, or they meet with their grandparents. Oh, you know what he did last night? Oh, you know what he did last week? He broke this. He did that. He failed this. This makes the child look this big in front of people. The parent that should be boasting them, making them confident, pumping this confidence in them. This parent who was the reason for their life should be the one standing beside them the whole way. When this parent is the one making them look small in front of people, you think they're going to want to spend time with the parent? Absolutely not. We seek refuge in Allah from all of these 10 things, brothers and sisters. If there's anything that we do from these 10 things, then from today, walking out of the khutbah, you must make a vow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you will not repeat it, because it's really detrimental. And it's a serious issue, brothers and sisters. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the best of akhlaq. No one can guide us to the best of akhlaq except for Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us the straight path, because indeed no one can show us the straight path except for Him. We ask Allah to forgive us, have mercy on us, give us righteous families, children. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us righteous children who obey us, who carry on the purpose of Islam and the message of Islam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us. اللَّهُمَ اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. اللَّهُمَّ اجْعَلِ الْحَيَاةَ زِيَادَةً لَنَا فِي كُلِّ خَيْرٍ وَاجْعَلِ الْمَوْتَ رَاحَةً لَنَا فِي مِنْ كُلِّ شَرٍّ. اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لَنَا هَزْلَنَا وَجِدَّنَا وَخَطَأَنَا وَعَمْدَنَا وَكُلُّ ذَلِكَ عِنْدَنَا. آمين. اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ وَسَلِّمْ وَبَارِكْ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
استووا اعتدلوا. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. سبحان الله. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. قل هو الله أحد، الله الصمد، لم يلد ولم يولد، ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله